couple of weeks ago, I spoke on the topic of understanding spiritual warfare, and that was the first part. Today, we are looking at the second and concluding part. Just a handful of points that were made a couple of weeks ago before Pastor Colin Lenore came and before we had Mother's Day, and before the snow decided to give us a wonderful Sunday off. 25-minute service, the quickest service we've ever had. And I preached the shortest sermon I ever preached. The Bible says that the shortest words that Jesus said, the shortest words in the scriptures, Jesus wept. The shortest sermon I ever preached was, "Go home." So, but don't get too used to it because you're not going to get that today. But some of the points that we looked at were the fact that there is no demilitarized zone. There's no, when it comes to spiritual warfare, every single child of God has been enlisted into the army of the Most High God. Amen. There is no one who is left out. We are all in this fight. And, if you didn't know it, then I pray that today you will know it. You know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but we're not living in a time of peace. You see, what he's basically said is, "I have come to give you peace in the midst of turmoil." And that's the difference, you know, between a child of God who is unaware of what's going on and a child of God who is aware of what's going on. Because in the midst of chaos, in the midst of the storm, Jesus says, "My shalom, my peace comes." But it doesn't mean that you're not in the fight, because we are in the fight and we need to learn how to fight. You know, spiritual warfare is a very, very important aspect of this Christian life. And, the other thing that I said was that it's a fight that isn't against our brothers and sisters. It's not against our neighbors. It's not against any flesh and blood. And I'm going to be actually expanding that today a little bit. But it's not about having a go at people or whatever. It's a spiritual battle. And we need to recognize that. And we need to fight with spiritual armory. And the other thing that I said was, the location of this battle is in the realms of the spirit. So this fight, this battle takes place, even though we are seated, we are physically here on this earth. Spiritually, we are seated in heavenly places at the right hand of Almighty God. You know, that we read about that in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. And, we have been elevated to this place in Christ. And it's a wonderful position to be in. Praise the Lord. And this spiritual place of abiding is in the third heaven. But the battle, this fight that goes on, happens in the spirit realm, which is the second heaven, and it's against spiritual forces of the kingdom of darkness. And that wants to destroy and really frustrate and eventually destroy the plans of Almighty God, which is stupid. It's futile, you know, but the enemy will still try. He will still have a good go. And, you know, what he wants to do is he wants to get hold of those who make up the church. You know, the church is not a building. It's not an entity. It is an ecclesia, a group of men, women, children who have been saved, who have been redeemed, who have been purchased by the blood of Christ. And, you know, he will want to infiltrate the lives of every single believer so that ultimately the plans of God will be frustrated. But again, like I said, that's a futile idea. It's a very stupid idea, because every single time he has a goal, he loses something. He loses ground, you know. And in the time, this season has been a very strange season, because we've had to say goodbye to many loved ones, you know. And it's very, very strange that so many, in such a short space of time, so many of our brothers and sisters have actually gone to glory. But you know something, God is still on in charge. He is still on the throne. Christ is still reigning supreme. And he has no rivals. He has no equals. No one can be compared with him. And that was the fourth point. We win. We always win. Even when it looks as though we are losing, we are still winning. You gotta really get hold of this truth. Even when it looks as though we are losing, not just about to lose, we are losing in the physical. The body is breaking down. Things are happening. It's what I'm going to be touching on tonight, about this outward tent and what this outward tent really means. What happens to this outward tent and what happens in the spirit when this outward tent goes through what it goes through. You know, I'm going to be talking about our eternal purpose. I'm going to be talking about eternal vision while we are here on earth. And I'm so excited about this message I'm going to share tonight, because the fact of the matter is we need to recognize that we win. And it's not just cliche, oh, I read the end of the book. Yes, we have all read the end of the book and we do win. But that it needs to become a present day reality.
Amen.
No matter what you're going through. No matter what you're going through in your spirit, no matter what you're going through physically, emotionally, in your financial situation, no matter what's happening in your marriage, no matter what is going on, we are winning. We are not losing. We are winning. You are winning. You cannot change your DNA in the natural, biologically. It's impossible for you to change any aspect of your person. People might alter their external features. But when it comes to who you truly are, what makes you, you, that cannot be changed. Why? Because it has been imprinted on your life by Almighty God, your creator, your maker. You have a spiritual DNA. And that's part of that spiritual DNA is simply highlighting the fact that you are a victor. You are not a victim. You are a winner. You are not a loser. You are a conqueror and more than that, and you are not one being conquered. And the enemy tries to get us into this mindset of being lost. You will never be lost because you are eternally found. How can you be lost when you are eternally found? If you are eternally found, then you know where you belong. And if you know where you belong, then you can never, ever walk in insecurity, in fear, in uncertainty, because you know that Christ is your rock.
Amen.
You know that He is your foundation. We win. And our text this morning is found in 2 Corinthians 10, the 3rd to the 5th verse. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are not fleshy, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to share this very quickly. I'm going to try and finish as quickly as I can, get out of the Holy Spirit's way, because I'm going to be talking about strongholds. It's going to be the main focus of the teaching this morning, and God is going to break strongholds today. Amen.
Amen.
Strongholds are going to fall in your life today. The Holy Spirit will do that. Okay? So we are going to make opportunity for Him to do that. And I really believe that when He does that, you will not be the same person. You won't be. Spiritual warfare can only be fought using spiritual weapons.
Amen.
So we emphasize this, the verse that says, for though we walk in the flesh, we walk in the flesh with human beings, other fellow human beings. We walk in the flesh, but we don't war according to the flesh. Because that is a key distraction of the enemy, getting us to fight and try to battle in such a way that is completely a waste of time. Because this battle is a spiritual battle, as I mentioned a few times. And the weapons that we possess are not weapons of this world. They are supernatural weapons. They are powerful weapons. And you know, there's so many different ideas as to what these weapons are, but I'll just throw out some suggestions. We obviously have the name of Jesus. We have the blood of Jesus, another weapon. We have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We have the discipline of prayer and fasting. Of course, we have the Word of God. It's a sword of the Spirit. And we have praise and worship. Each one of these deserve their own teaching. But I pray that God, by His Holy Spirit, will learn us again how to be people who know how to praise themselves to a place of glory. Praise and worship the King into a place of liberty, a place of freedom. Even this last week, I've had to not learn because I know how to do it, but it's easier said than done when you're going through something. But even in this last week, I've learned to praise my God. And I have witnessed firsthand the power that comes when a child of God looks at the enemy right in the face and says, whatever you do and whatever you try to do, I'm not going to give you my praise. Because praise is attention, you see. It's just attention. That's all it is. When we praise God, we are giving Him our attention. But if we give our attention to something else, effectively, in context, all right, don't take what I'm saying out of context. If we give our attention to something else or somebody else, then we are giving them the praise that is due Almighty God. So when we praise God, we go through what we're going through, and we praise God, we worship God, we magnify God. And that's exactly what happens. In our thinking, in our speech, in our declaration, we are magnifying and elevating Jesus above everything that we can possibly face. Amen. Now, as we elevate Him, we become elevated. Why? Because where are we? We are in Him. When we take our attention off of Him, we are effectively, stay in context, bringing Him down to our level. And trying to bring Him to, because He, in our minds, that's what's happening. He is God. But we try to bring Him down to our level, and we make this wonderful, glorious God so small in comparison to what we are facing. What praise does, it magnifies Him. It elevates Him. It makes Him the big, mighty, and glorious God that he is, who reigns and rules over all of creation. And when that happens, when He gets big, we get big. When He is raised up, we are raised up. Not in the sense of being prideful, no way. It just simply means that we are living in the reality of our inheritance right now. We are living in this wonderful down payment of our inheritance as children of the kingdom of heaven, not subject to depression, oppression, fear, intimidation. You know, we are not slaves to these things anymore, but we are the redeemed. And not only are we the redeemed, but we are here to rule and we are here to reign as citizens of the Most High God. We are here to step into the fullness of our royal calling.
Amen.
In Christ. Not subject to Pharaoh. Not subject to the threats of Nebuchadnezzar. We are not going to bow down and cower down and surrender to destruction in the hope that somehow we might just make it through somehow. No. We will rise with Christ as we elevate Him and raise Him up in the spirit of our mind, in our thinking. We will rise with Him. And we will reign with him as we praise him and magnify him. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be to your name, God. What is the purpose of these weapons? The scripture tells us, number one, the purpose of these weapons is to pull down strongholds, pull it down. The second purpose is to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I'll talk about strongholds. This is the bulk of my message this morning. When it comes to God being God, there is no argument. It's a wonderful song that, you know, Sue and I have been listening to for quite a few months now. And it says that you are God all by yourself. There is no argument. You are God alone. There's no challenge. There's no if, buts, and maybes. There is no argument whatsoever when it comes to the magnificence of Almighty God. And when it comes to his divine right to be God in every situation, there is no argument whatsoever. The purpose of these weapons are also to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I'm hopefully going to touch on that as well later on. If not, I'll come back and I'll touch on it. But for the sake of time, we press on. Why must strongholds be pulled down? Strongholds need to be pulled down because we cannot engage in spiritual warfare efficiently and effectively if they remain standing. Efficient warfare means that you are not depleting energy, resources, time. So many of us fight and we just keep on shadow boxing. We just keep on throwing ourselves at things that we shouldn't throw ourselves at. We keep on walking with as though we were blind, blindfolded. And we are just wasting our time. We are wasting our energy. We are wasting our resources. We are wasting our ability because we have not received the insight that must be received when we have a clear run or a clear visual of what's happening. These strongholds that are built up in the spirit of our mind are the very things that block us from seeing and observing the goodness of God. And when that doesn't happen, when that happens, I beg your pardon, we are not in a position to truly understand the strategies of the enemy. We are not in a position to truly understand, you know, the motives of the enemy in terms of his methods. You know, Jesus had no problem with this. When he saw somebody, he knew exactly what the problem was. If the person was demonized, he dealt with it because he knew it. He didn't go through a whole process of saying, well, you know, I'm going to have to send you on this course and you're going to have to go to this place and that place and, you know, and then hopefully 6 months down the line, you might just be okay. You know, okay, we do all these things now for whatever reason, okay? And that's where we're at. God meets us where we're at and we thank and praise him for that. But let me tell you something. Jesus did not do that. Now, if he is meant to be our model, then something has to flick inside of us to say, Jesus, I want to do it how you did it. How's that? Is that all right? I want to do it how you did it. He saw it. He saw that the person, he saw there was a sickness in their body and he touched them and the sickness left. Where he saw injustice, he knew exactly what the core of the issue was. He went for it. When he saw that they were hungry and they were needy, it wasn't just food that was the issue. Jesus actually went two or three steps behind to say, I want to deal with the actual true root cause of this problem amongst the 12. I want to deal with your hard hearts and I want to deal with your unbelief. You know, multiplying bread and fish, that's just a byproduct of what I'm about to do through you because there needs to be longevity on the inside of you. You guys are going to be the foundation of my church. So you need to get this now. Jesus knew that. Because guess what? Jesus had no strongholds whatsoever. So when he did things, it was done with great efficiency and effectiveness. And I thank God for the men and women of God right now. When someone comes into a meeting and they are bound by the enemy, you know something? It doesn't take long. Things happen very, very quickly. Why? Because of the presence of Almighty God that is in that place. Amen. Why? Why else? Because of the faith that is factored into that situation. Why else? Because of the authority that this man or this woman of God stands on when they communicate the word of God and they command that thing to leave that person's body. Sometimes they don't even need to do that. I've shared about the wonderful testimony of this family who came and they didn't even make it into the church because God met with them in their car while they were still in the car park. And the son, who was completely bound by drug addiction and, you know, and all kinds of vices, he was set free right there and then. Amen. The father, whose heart was so hard and so unforgiving, you know, he repented. The mother, who was so hard and against the father, repented. The whole family was beautifully, beautifully ministered to by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they were in an environment where if there were strongholds, they had been dealt with. They were not allowed to remain in operation. This efficiency, this word efficiency is very, very, I'm going to actually speak on this Pentecost Sunday in May. You need to be in prayer. God is going to do some wonderful things. But it's not just about Pentecost Sunday. God is going to do some things, significantly big things in this place before we even get to May, whatever it is. I don't have the date. But he is going to do some wonderful, wonderful things. And I'm going to talk about efficiency. Efficiency comes when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes. Efficiency comes. It's not just power. It's not just might. It's efficiency. We haven't got the time to waste time anymore. We haven't. So strongholds have to be pulled down, because if they remain standing, we will not be able to fight clever. And the second reason is, if strongholds are not pulled down, we will not live a life of freedom and victory. It just won't happen until they are destroyed. What is a stronghold? A stronghold can be defined as a well-fortified place or fortress. The purpose of a stronghold is to preserve and protect what is behind it. A stronghold can be considered to be a place of safety, security, and strategy. But what stronghold is being referred to here? Is it one that is for us? Absolutely not. It's not one that is for us. As we read in 2 Samuel 22, verse 3, the God of my strength, David speaking about his God, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my savior, you save me from violence. David is declaring that in God I have safety, I have security, and I have every strategy for my life. But this is not the stronghold that the Apostle Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians 10. It's a very, very different stronghold. This is not a stronghold that is for us, but rather it is a stronghold that has been built, designed and built against us. So strongholds can refer to strongholds of the mind or strongholds of the enemy in the spirit realm. And the type of stronghold that is being mentioned in the text is the stronghold of the mind. In the context of spiritual warfare, the battle begins in the mind. If we can win the battle of the mind, then we will learn how to walk in the freedom that comes with the victory already being won on the cross for us. But if we are held captive in a certain area, the reality is this, church: how can we effectively be used by God to set free those who are also in captivity. If we are bound, how can we be used by God to loose those who are also bound? Now, of course, God will use broken vessels, but that's not his first choice. Okay? God will use anyone. God has used me many times, especially at my lowest point of weakness. And I believe he's used many of us in this room as well. But that's not his plan A. His plan A is that we are whole, that we are strong, that we are bold, that we are courageous, that we are free. That's what he wants. And that's what is required if we are to be a people used by God to liberate others who are bound by the enemy. So this is not going to disqualify. I don't want you to sit there and say, well, that's me done. I have this problem, so God is never going to use me ever again. I did not say that. What I'm emphasizing is the point that simply says, yes, God will use us anytime he desires, but his optimum point of using us is when we have allowed his Holy Spirit to empower us to be who he has called us to be. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. A sound mind is a mind that is guarded through two things, self-control and self-discipline. How are strongholds formed in our minds? Strongholds are formed in our minds as a result of some form of emotional trauma. Emotional trauma can occur due to all kinds of things: abuse, rejection, abandonment, damaging words, betrayal, broken families, broken relationships, etc., etc. Such occurrences will in turn produce issues such as low self-esteem, bitterness, unforgiveness, self-hatred, distrust, anger, fear, anxiety, and an identity crisis, and so on and so forth. This is very important. The causes of emotional trauma, as I've mentioned, abuse, rejection, abandonment, and the rest of them, if not dealt with, will in time form strongholds in our minds. Now, this speaks of the root of the problem. The result of emotional trauma, not the causes now, because the causes of emotional trauma that lead to those things, the abuse and so on and so forth, will eventually lead to results. And the results of emotional trauma, such as low self-esteem, bitterness, unforgiveness, self-hatred, hatred in general, anger, fear, strife and striving and all of those things will then become what? The bad treasure that is stored up and protected by these harmful strongholds. The cause of emotional trauma effectively become the root, and the results of that initial cause, the effect of that cause is the fruit of emotional trauma. Okay, and it's the fruit, it's the treasure. It's not what's happened to us. That's just the historic part of what we've been through. It is the manifestation of that. It's the manifestation of the fear and the anxiety and our inability to commit to others and to commit to anything. All of those things represent the fruit, bad treasure. What do I mean by bad treasure? Well, this is what the Lord says. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, but an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Therefore, for every one of us, we either have good stuff in our hearts or we have bad stuff in our hearts. The good stuff that we have is being protected by Almighty God. But the bad stuff, because it's all about treasure, and where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The bad stuff is also being protected, but not by God, by these blooming strongholds. Verse Therefore, when the one who was abused, because you see, that out of the overflow, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's literal in terms of what we say, but it's also figurative in terms of what we do. It represents the outward manifestation of who we are in our personality, in our character, in the way we deal with people, and the way we handle situations, all flowing from the condition or the state of our hearts and our minds. Therefore, the one who was abused, abuses. The one who was rejected, rejects. The one who was damaged by words causes damage by their own words. And the one who does not believe that they have been forgiven does not know how to forgive, etc., etc. Therefore, strongholds of the mind do the following. Number one, they fortify and protect the effects, not the cause, the effects of emotional trauma, the fruit. Secondly, they fortify and protect the bad treasure that come as a result of those of emotional trauma. Thirdly, they fortify and protect the lies and the deception of the enemy. And lastly, they fortify and protect the effects of incorrect doctrine. So now let's talk about strongholds and the born-again experience. See, when we are born again, when we got born again, something happened. What happened? In an instant, our sins were forgiven. Our spirit, which was dead in sin, was raised alive to God in Christ, and the Holy Spirit came to take his place in our hearts. Now, the process of sanctification began. Sanctification of our spirit, of our soul, our thoughts, our emotions, our feelings, and our intellect. Our thoughts, our emotions, our feeling, and our intellect. So there was sanctification of our spirit, sanctification of our soul, and sanctification of our bodies. It is in the sanctification of our soul, our thoughts, feelings, emotion, and intellect that strongholds are hallelujah, they are located. Seek and find. Like a heat-seeking missile, strongholds are located, they are exposed, and they are destroyed. And when these strongholds are destroyed, all that they protect are destroyed along with them.
Amen.
This is what happened the moment you said yes to Jesus. And child of God, don't let anyone ever tell you any different. You know why? Because if they tell you that it's different and you believe that it's different, then you have lowered the work of Christ, the sanctifying, all-powerful work of the blood of Jesus to something that is now to be trampled underneath your feet. I tell you that there is power in the blood of Jesus. Don't let anyone ever tell you any different. Hallelujah. Don't let anybody ever tell you any different.
Amen.
You believe that, you believe something else today, God sets you free right now in Jesus' name. The moment you said yes to your bridegroom, he says, come on, I'm taking you, you're mine. I'm going to take off those grave clothes. I'm going to put on your beautiful wedding gown. I'm going to beautify you. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to set you apart because you are my property. You are mine. You belong to me. Someone says to you, well, you're going to have to carry this for the rest of your life until you get prayed for 100 times. You get anointed by 6 gallons of anointing oil. You go through 2,000 courses. I'm sorry. I don't see that. I don't see it. This work of sanctification of our minds is, this is the key. It is not a one-off event. Sanctification is ongoing. Hebrews 10:14 says, for by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being present, continuous, being sanctified. So what he's saying is perfection is already your portion. But in this present moment, we are being sanctified daily as we approach, quickly approach, the perfected state of our being, spirit, soul, and body, even our resurrected state, on that day when forever truly becomes forever. But right now, we are being sanctified. And I thank God for that. Because if it wasn't a one-off thing, I think I'll be in trouble. I think we'll all be in trouble. Isn't it? Aren't you glad that he's not a one-off, that every day his mercies are new every morning? His faithfulness is new every day. He has forgiveness for us every single day. The blood of Jesus is cleansing us every single day. That's a wonderful Jesus. That's a wonderful God. The completion of this work of sanctification of our minds is dependent on the cooperation of the one who is being sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of all peace sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Thank you, Jesus. Paul prayed this prayer because he knew that there could be resistance to the work of the sanctification of our minds. Why? Resistance, because we walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. The effectiveness of the ongoing work of sanctification of our minds is dependent on two things: the ongoing renewal of our minds and the ongoing surrender to the person of the Holy Spirit. We got to renew our minds and we need to surrender. Amen. If we don't renew our minds and surrender to the leading, guidance, instruction, and power of the Holy Spirit, then we will be resisting the complete and thorough work of the sanctification of our minds. And as a result, some strongholds, this is the tragedy of it, some strongholds that should be destroyed remain, or in some cases, they either remain, or in some cases, they are rebuilt. And this is why some Christians do not walk in the complete freedom, because they have not surrendered themselves to the complete work of the sanctification of the mind. I mean, after all, was not the wall around Jericho rebuilt? Yeah. It was. We read about the story, we celebrate, we preach on it, we meditate on it, we apply it to our lives, we sing about it, we talk about the victory of the Jericho, the battle at Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down, but it was rebuilt against the will of God, against the instruction of God, and leading to the judgment of God, because it was never to be rebuilt, but it was rebuilt. That's the issue. And these strongholds are rebuilt or reformed against the will of God, against the instructions of God, against the plan of God. But because of our, if you like, our unwillingness to yield to the work of sanctification, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, to surrender to the Holy Spirit, to renew our minds daily, Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, continually renewing our minds, we find ourselves in this situation where things get built again. Of course, it can be the case that through anointed preaching and teaching, prayer, counseling, and the laying on of hands, people can either instantly or gradually be delivered as strongholds fall. But this is God's preferred method. God's preferred method is to see strongholds fall. God's preferred method to see strongholds fall is where we have chosen to renew our minds and surrender to the Holy Spirit's leading daily. If we are to be effective in spiritual warfare, we must first win the battle of our minds. Let's have the band back. I'm finished now. When we allow God the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do, to sanctify our minds, we will be well armed, hallelujah, with the weapons of our warfare, which will pull down and destroy every stronghold. We then yield to Him as we seek to renew our minds in and through His Word. And when we do so, Church, we will march on in life strong, courageous, and victorious. We will march on in life free of any excess and harmful baggage. You need to start traveling light. We will march on in life armed and very dangerous.
Amen.
We will march on in life knowing that we have a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind, a well-disciplined and a well-controlled mind, not a mind that is being disciplined by the circumstances that we are, because someone is going to disciple you now. We're either going to be discipled by the Spirit of the living God, or we're going to be discipled by the God of this age. Whoever has control over your mind is going to disciple you. But as a child of the living God, that enemy doesn't have any rights to control your mind, to affect your mind, to infiltrate your thinking, to influence you in any way. But the only way that we can safeguard ourselves is by truly recognizing that we have the grace. Church, we have the grace to have a disciplined mind. Because a disciplined mind will be a mind that is being discipled by Jesus himself. A controlled mind and not a mind that is out of control. We will march on as a people who are victorious, who are conquering, and who are not being conquered. And I have no doubts in my mind that as the Holy Spirit enables us to learn these truths for ourselves, to walk in them, some of you here, I would say that we all have strongholds in this room, every one of us, if we're being honest. Some of you, God is going to deal with those strongholds today. Some of you, God has other plans. But either way, what needs to be dealt with is going to be dealt with. Because you walking, the freedom, the breaking of that stronghold is linked to the fulfillment of your assignment. So for the ones that God is going to meet with today, that's his will. It's not down to me. It's down to the will of the Holy Spirit. So he will do what only he can do. And for everyone else, including myself included, I'm here. I'm open for God to do anything he wants to do right now in my life. Because I don't have time. I really don't have time. None of us do. We don't have time to be the enemy's puppet anymore. Those strings were cut a long time ago.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Amen.
Those strings were cut a long time ago.
Yeah.
And we don't have time to be anyone's puppet.
No.
Where he just takes us wherever he wants to take us. Do you know who you are? You are a child of the living God.
Amen.
You have been saved and sanctified by the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
You are royalty. Hallelujah. Some of you, the stronghold is, well, I'm getting on now. God is done with me. I said that devil is a liar.
Yes.
That devil is a liar. What is your 80 years compared to 80 billion years? What is your 70 years compared to 70 million years?